normal thing. But if we were able to associate this sound with a new stimulus, save the food, we've achieved pulling a natural response from you. Save the food. Why are we doing this, you may ask? Save the food. Because this ad is trying to change your after-meal behavior through brainwashing. Because food waste costs the average family $1,500 a year. Save the food. Cha-ching. And $1,500 extra is like getting a pay raise. Save the food. Cha-ching.
You're promoted.
Which could pay for your child's braces. Save the food. Cha-ching.
You're promoted.
Check out my braces.
So when you hear this sound, rethink your behavior. Cook it, store it, share it. Just don't waste it. For tips and recipes, visit savethefood.com. Brought to you by NRDC and the Ad Council.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary with you until 9 o'clock tonight. When On the Town with Mikey D, we'll be here with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. 855-915-WMFO. Give me a call if you feel like arguing with me or telling me I'm a bad person or a garbage person or any of those things that we all say to each other on the internet now. I got thick skin. I can take it. Normally, I would have Shay Spillane sitting across from me. Shay, unfortunately, has hurt her knee. And for those who don't know, we have to climb 3 flights of stairs to get up to the radio station. There is no elevator in this building. It's stairs or nothing. And whenever we hurt ourselves below the waist, finding our way up to WMFO can be very challenging. Shay is in so much pain right now, she can barely move, let alone drive a car, let alone get up those stairs. Please keep her in your thoughts, and she'll be back with us just as soon as she is able. Just a moment ago, we heard brand new music from Tom Petty. I was going to save that for What's Hot, but I know that Chris Earle, my thanks to Chris Earle, for sticking around for the first hour of the show tonight, is a Tom Petty fan. And that was that's a new old stock, is what you call that. That was Keep a Little Soul from his forthcoming box set, An American Treasure. That will be released in September 28th. 3 CDs of outtakes, alternate versions of songs you know, live performances. And that was one of those deep in the vault cuts, Keep a Little Soul, from 1982, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. That was during the sessions for the Long After Dark album, which occupies a very, very special place in the hearts of a great many of us who were teens, early 20s, 30s, whatever you happen to be. That is one of Tom Petty's best albums. And that's a great song. You can see why it's not on the album, because it's not as good as the stuff that's on the album, but it's the kind of song that once upon a time would have been a B-side for a single or might have come out on an EP or something like that. But now we have it, and you'll be able to own it on September 28th. In the meantime, you can find that on YouTube. So to get us back on course here, in technology news, which we didn't hit last hour, now these street signs are spying on people. The county of Norfolk in the United Kingdom unveiled new warning signs along its roadways that can detect drivers using their cell phones in their cars. When the sign detects a distracted driver, it flashes a red warning to let them know they should stop. The signs work by analyzing the strength and duration of radio signals emitted by mobile devices during calls and are smart enough to distinguish Bluetooth signals from hands-free calls devices from regular calls. Calling while driving is illegal in the United Kingdom, and while the new signs do not capture information on offenders or issue tickets, there is already interest in adding those features. One drawback to the technology is that it cannot distinguish between a passenger or a driver making a phone call. This is a very simple fix, for those who know what they're doing. You put a camera on the sign and you take a picture of the vehicle so that you get the license plate and what the driver is doing. And now all of a sudden, a seemingly innocent roadside sign telling you, hey, put down your phone, is now emailing the Registry of Motor Vehicles and sending you a ticket. I actually, as someone who does not make phone calls while I drive, I like this. I support this. I think we need this. I don't think it's going to stop people from making phone calls while they drive, in the same way that speed limits don't stop people from speeding. Some people are just going to do it and pay the fines no matter what. They think they're entitled, or they think they're above the law, or whatever it is. But the vast majority of people faced with significant fines and technology that will catch them seem to have a tendency to stop with the bad behavior. So, to the extent that this could actually do something worthwhile, yeah, I'm on board. I'll wait until you can guarantee. You have to be able to guarantee that you're going to catch drivers who are talking on their phones and not passengers. You put that guarantee on it, and I will support putting these things alongside every road here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts so that the scourge of people driving while talking on their phones, people like Shea Spillane, will be put to an end. Of course, Shea Spillane would disagree with that. She's, no, I don't talk on the phone while I drive anymore. Yeah, you do.
Don't know why there's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
Your Boston 5-day forecast is looking seasonable. Summertime seasonable, but seasonable nonetheless. Lows in the mid-60s tonight. Tomorrow's sunny, beautiful day. Highs in the upper 70s, lows in the mid-60s, an awful lot like today. Moderate humidity. If you like today, you are going to love tomorrow. Friday, we're going to see some clouds blowing around, maybe a late afternoon thunderstorm. Highs in the mid-70s, lows in the mid-60s. Saturday, partly cloudy skies. Slightly stronger chance that we get that afternoon thunderstorm. Highs around 80 degrees, lows in the mid-60s. Sunday, we get a little bit more steamy. Temperature rises into the low 80s, partly cloudy skies. Lows around 70 degrees on Sunday night. Monday, a little bit more like Sunday. Mostly sunny skies, highs in the mid-80s, lows in the 70s. So we're going to get into a little steamy pattern for a couple of days. Then we're going to have some thunderstorms come in here, and it's going to get nice again. If you're thinking of patching holes in your lawn, and you can keep those spots watered for those couple of rainy days we got coming up, this is a great time to do that. Ordinarily, we'd be doing Did You Hear, and I don't have Shay, so I will have to solo, which is obviously a little bit less exciting for you, but we still get to talk about all of the other stories that were worthwhile this week but weren't quite above the fold headline material. NATO. President Trump is over in Europe right now, is meeting with NATO, and the headline that you've probably heard is that in a closed-door meeting with NATO officials, President Trump has asked them to cough up 4% of their gross domestic product for defense. That is not a realistic proposal. That is not something that I believe Donald Trump said in seriousness. I think it is one of those things that he says in his brinksmanship negotiating style, because not even the United States. You think about the United States and you think, oh, this is a country that spends all of its money out. They spend way too much on defense. Why does the U.S. spend so much on defense? We don't spend 4% of our gross domestic product on defense. We spend 3.5%, almost 3.6% on defense. Now, that is a lot of money. Okay, that's billions and billions and billions of dollars. But we are in no position to tell anyone else to spend 4% when we don't spend 4% ourselves, because we are one of the richest nations on earth. If you were poor in this country, you don't agree with that, you don't experience that. But if you are one of the millionaires or billionaires living in those super skinny skyscrapers popping up all over Manhattan, then like, yeah, we're the richest, we're the best, whatever. What Donald Trump is actually trying to do, and the major source of his irritation with NATO, which he has made clear over the last few weeks, you may have heard him say that the United States is not the world's piggy bank, is to get NATO to pay up to the level that they agreed to. Currently, as of 2017, the United States is funding approximately 67% of NATO's military activities and NATO's defense activities. We're paying two-thirds. We are one of approximately 40 countries in NATO, and we are paying two-thirds of NATO's costs. President Trump, now again, one of the richest nations on earth, biggest market on earth, we can afford to spend more and pay more for NATO than some other countries can, okay? But we're not talking about Montenegro and Luxembourg and tiny little countries that couldn't possibly afford NATO on their own. We're talking about countries like Germany and France. A few years ago, there was an agreement made among all the NATO countries that they would contribute 2% of their GDP to defense. They would spend 2% of their annual gross domestic product on defense. And the bigger the country you are, the more you're going to contribute, the more billions or millions you have to pay for defense. As of 2017, only four countries were doing this, and no one was doing more than the United States. The United States spent 3.57% of its gross domestic product on defense in 2017. Greece was second. Remember Greece? You may have heard about Greece. Greece has been in the news a lot lately. Greece is the country that is continually on the verge of civil war because they can't afford anything, because they keep putting in these austerity programs to pay their bills and pay down their debts and stay part of the European Union. That Greece, the Greece that has severe financial problems, the Greece that has a continually stalled economy, the Greece that has rampant inflation, rampant unemployment, very unhappy people. Greece made their NATO commitment. Greece spent 2.37% or 2.36% rather of their gross domestic product on defense in 2017. Greece, yes, that Greece. Britain, they're usually pretty reliable, 2.12%. The fourth country, Estonia. Estonia, former Soviet Republic. Estonia, 2.08%. Poland very nearly made the cut. Poland very nearly made number five, but they only put in 1.99%. I will give Poland honorary inclusion. We will make it the group of five nations that actually met their NATO responsibility and spent 2% of their GDP on defense. 1.99% is close enough for me. And I think it's close enough for the president. I think it's close enough for anybody. Greece, 2.36%. Next to the United States, they spent more on defense than any other member of NATO. And their economy is collapsing. But they sat back and said, this is important. This is what we like about Greece. Greece wants to honor its commitments. This is why the way the Greek economy is run is a bit of a nightmare, but they're at least trying to be responsible about things. So who are the offenders? Who are the people who are just like, you know what? We're going to let the United States pay our bills. We're going to contribute less than 2% because we know somebody else is going to make that up. Canada, our wealthy little neighbor to the north, Canada. 1.29% of its gross domestic product spent on defense. Canada, 1.29%. Canada, by the way, really doesn't need a military at all because the United States will protect Canada. because it is in our strategic interest to protect Canada. Most of what Canada does militarily exists to support the United States. They patrol their waters. They patrol their skies. They cooperate with us on radar installations and things like that. But Canada doesn't have a massive military. Okay? If Russia or China sent the duck boats across the Pacific Ocean and started invading Canada, Canada would not be able to muster a major response to that. Canada is relying on the United States to send the Marines and send the Army and send the National Guard and send everybody. But they should still be putting 2% of their GDP toward defense. Canada is a wealthy nation. Canada is the second wealthiest nation in our hemisphere. And this whole double continent Americas thing that we've got. The United States has the most money per capita, and then it's Canada. 1.29%. The richest nation in the European Union, Germany, 1.24%. This is why Germany has all the money, is because they're paying 3/4 of a percentage point less for defense than they are required to do under NATO agreements. 1.24%. Belgium had the lowest contribution of the larger European nations, the ones with a significant amount of land and a significant amount of population. They were at 0.90%. Spain, which, like Greece, has a lot of economic problems, has trouble paying its bills, has trouble paying its entitlements, has a lot of angry people and a lot of austerity measures. They spent 0.92%. Luxembourg was the biggest offender at 0.46%. Luxembourg, I believe, has fewer than 1 million people. Luxembourg is a tiny, tiny, tiny little country that is entirely landlocked and entirely in the mountains, and nobody is ever going to bother them. Luxembourg, the only reason they're part of NATO is because they're part of Europe, and the fallout from the nuclear weapons will land in Luxembourg. I will give Luxembourg a pass. I will basically say, you know what, Luxembourg, drop the price, make some beer, make some chocolate, make something. I don't know what they make over there other than good holiday memories. I think they're big in watches and jewelry. You don't think, oh, Luxembourg, you know, that's where the great beer comes from. But like, make something, sell it cheap on the international stage, and I will erase your NATO debt. We'll forgive your NATO debt because you're a tiny country. No one's going to war with Luxembourg, and you're not going to war with anybody else because it's immediately a slaughter. Montenegro might lose a war to Luxembourg, but they're the only ones. Montenegro, by the way, is spending more toward NATO than Belgium is, and I believe than Germany is. This is what the president is upset about, and Americans should be upset about this. We should be unhappy about this. Because the reason this happens, the reason these countries sign these agreements and leave the United States to pick up the bill, is because they know we will. All right, we all have those friends that we like to go out with, those friends that we like to take out to dinner, that we know when the check comes at the end of the night are going to kind of shrink back into their seats and spend a lot of time looking in their wallets. Or they're going to pull out their credit card and they're going to demand separate tabs for everybody. And then when it comes time to pay the tip, they are going to be suspiciously light. This is what's happening with NATO. This is that dinner group. And they look at the United States and they're like, hey, you guys are doing well. You got all the money. You pick up a round of drinks and the tip. And we'll pay for our entrees. This is what Canada and Germany and France and Spain and Belgium, Denmark, this is what all these countries are saying. You know, we don't want Russia making war with us. We like NATO. We love NATO. NATO is important. Well, can you put 2% of your GDP toward defense? Sure. Yeah, we're in. Let's do this. Let's make this happen. And then the bill comes due. Did you put in 2%? Oh, you know, I'm a little tight this month. Can you get the extra? We're putting in 1.5% more than we're supposed to. Okay. And the numbers that we're talking about are billions of dollars. Billions of dollars that we could be using on infrastructure. Billions of dollars that we could be using on schools. Billions of dollars that we could be using on training programs to help people with lower levels of skills get up to the skill level they need to be competitive in this economy. Billions of dollars that we could be using to take care of young families. Billions of dollars that we could be using to eliminate hunger in our nation that we are spending on Europe, because Europe can't seem to find the money to pay their own bills. However you feel about the president, and Lord knows I am not fond of the man, I don't know too many people who are, when it comes to this issue of NATO, the president is 100% correct. And we should be standing behind him on this. If you make a commitment to spend 2% of your gross domestic product on defense that is mutually beneficial to everyone in Europe and everyone in the United States, to keep Russia in check, to reduce the risk of nuclear weapons, if you make that commitment to put 2% of your GDP toward that and then fail to meet that commitment because you know in the back of your mind, oh, the United States will pick up the tab, you are a bad ally. You are a bad ally. What you should have done is said, we can't afford that. You should have said, we can't afford that. United States, you're going to have to pay more. And then as the United States, we can say, well, you know what? We can't afford that, so I guess no NATO. Or we could say, all right, that's fair. That's reasonable. We have a larger economy. We have a more developed military. We have the means to do this that a country like Belgium or a country like Montenegro or a country like, I'm not going to say Germany. There is zero reason for Germany not to be meeting its NATO commitment. Angela Merkel and Germany is the first to put its hand up and condemn everybody else in the world for what they think they're doing wrong, but can't pay their bills. When Donald Trump says we sign bad deals and we make bad deals in this country, this is the kind of thing he's talking about. And for everything that this president gets wrong, and believe me, that list is endless, almost endless. For everything this president gets wrong, here's one little tiny thing that he gets right. And if the net result of this is NATO paying their bills, so that we can draw down our defense spending a little bit and get that money out into our communities where we know it is desperately needed, then that's a win. And in dealing with this presidency that we have right now, I will take the wins that I can get. Miss Plymouth County, Maud Gorman, pulled off her sash. Stepped down, resigned from the pageant, and resigned from pageants altogether after the host of the Miss Massachusetts pageant took part in a sketch making a crude Me Too joke during the ceremony. Basically, this was a sketch about the lack of swimsuit costumes or the lack of a swimsuit competition in the Miss America pageant taking place right now. So the sketch, which I have seen, there are two women on stage. It's meant to be a girl in her bedroom praying to God, asking God, why can't we have a swimsuit competition in the pageant anymore? At which point, God, who is played by another woman, holds up a sign that says, Me Too. Ha ha. Hilarious. Maud Gorman didn't think so. I don't think so. And Maud Gorman happens to be a survivor of sexual assault. She is a campaigner for victims' rights. And she put her money where her mouth is. She's a fairly accomplished young woman and a very formidable young woman. And she basically said, you know what? This is so wildly out of touch with my values. This is so unacceptable that I'm not going to be part of this thing anymore. And she went on Instagram and announced she was out. She was done. The Miss Massachusetts pageant has since apologized. Curiously, in all of the coverage that I've seen on this, no one has come forward to reveal the name of the MC. And I don't know if the MC is responsible for this sketch. The Miss Massachusetts organizers say they didn't know it was going to happen, which suggests to me that maybe you have some hired talent going rogue. But after a little bit of digging, I was able to figure out that the MC for the night, this is according to the Worcester Telegram, which had a preview of the Miss Massachusetts pageant, is Amy Schmitz. She is an Emerson grad and a TV producer for NBC. She's the MC. So I don't know why no one is asking Amy Schmitz what happened here. She may not have been involved in this in any way, shape, or form, but all of the coverage of this event has suggested that the MC did something that upset Maude Gorman. So, news media, where is the coverage of the MC? Why is that part of the story not being followed up on by anybody when at least some of the information is publicly available? If Amy Schmitz is a TV producer, it's pretty easy if you're in the media to figure out how to get a hold of her. And it would be nice if someone would do their job and actually find out if she was involved in this, if she knew what was going on with this. If she wasn't, what are her feelings on this? If she was involved in this, what are you thinking? But nothing. They don't even mention her name. Well, you got it here, and you can call a journalist if you know one and ask them why they're not doing their job. Finally, Del Monte vegetable trays. Folks, do not pick up the Del Monte vegetable tray unless you are a big fan of Cyclospora chiatinensis. If you like Cyclospora chiatinensis, which triggers the always enjoyable explosive diarrhea, then by all means, go out and get yourself some Del Monte vegetable trays. If you are not a fan of explosive diarrhea, you're still a good person. It's okay. You will want to know that the Del Monte vegetable trays have been recalled. In four states, including Iowa, Michigan, Minnesota, and Wisconsin, more than 212 people have been sickened. This is a very particular product. These are chopped up whole vegetables, trays of carrots, broccoli, celery, cauliflower, with a little container of dill dressing in the middle that you can dip them in. That's the product that's being recalled. Expiration date is June 17th or later. If you got the June 17th vegetable tray, you've probably thrown that out. But the or later is the interesting part of this because they don't give a final expiration date. So they're in the process of recalling the Del Monte vegetable trays. If you have these in your refrigerator, probably on the safe side, you want to take them back to the supermarket or throw them out. Don't eat them. There haven't been any cases in Massachusetts, but we've seen how these things spread. And this week, oh, it's four states in the Midwest. Next week, it's crawling its way up the East Coast, and then sooner or later, it gets here. I know I could do without explosive diarrhea for the next couple of weeks. It's summertime. It's hot. It makes explosive diarrhea less pleasant than it might be in wintertime when you're cold and need a reason to be warm. Best advice, stay away from the Del Monte vegetable trays. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. It is WMFO Medford. It is The Big Picture. I am Derek Gary. Chase Blaine will be back. Chase Blaine is nursing an injured knee. On the Town with Mikey D, we'll be here at 9 o'clock with everything that you need to know about the Boston music scene. And when we come back, are some ideas, are some proposals made by politicians so dangerous, so corrosive, so bad that we need to think about removing those politicians from public life permanently? There is at least one issue that all of you feel that way about. It's not the same issue for everybody. But there is at least one issue that you will say, if a politician argued in favor of this, I would never allow that person to get into office. I believe we have such a situation. I believe it is, well, I don't believe, I know it is incredibly close to home. And we're going to talk about that right after this here on WMFO Medford.
Hi, this is James Brown, soul brother number one, always fighting. Now I'm fighting for your life. I'm fighting for your life because if you use drugs, you better leave it alone. Drugs are contagious. They're killers. Every drug is a killer. Stay away from drugs. Drugs will take your life away. And if you want to live, stay away from drugs. Because they are super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad.
Okay, gang. So, chances are there'll never be an emergency ever, ever again.
Mm-hmm.
But just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
So, who's going to do what? Anyone? Yeah, okay, perfect. We'll figure it out as we go. So, who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Ah, good point. So, we all know who to call if something happens then, right?
I'd have to call Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
And I will try to call all of you, but Greg doesn't have a cell phone. Dad's phone will have a dead battery.
No doubt.
And Julie will be on the phone with Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 855-915-9636. And if I'm playing this music, I'm talking about one of two things. Thor Ragnarok would be one of them. Or immigration would be one of them. And we're not talking about Thor Ragnarok tonight, unfortunately. Great movie. Go see it. No. Every now and again, in politics, you will come across somebody with an idea that is so off the rails, so far out in left field or in right field, depending on which side of the aisle they're on, that you look at that individual and you say, how can you, as an American citizen who theoretically grew up here, got the same basic education that I did, has the same cultural references and touch points that I do, how can you put that idea forward? That idea is crazy. That idea is so outrageous that I don't care whatever else it is that you stand for. You need to go. You need to leave office. You need to go find another line of work, because this idea that you put out is so bad and so dangerous that I'm scared of where you're going to go next. We all have that line. Every one of us has that line that we cannot cross. Some easy examples of this. If there was a candidate running for office who said, I support a full ban on all abortion, there will be no abortion under any circumstances whatsoever, a majority of people would say, you know what? No. No. You may have the solution to everything else that's going wrong in America, but your refusal to allow anyone under any circumstances to get an abortion is a non-starter for me. Now, there's obviously going to be some people who applaud that. There's going to be some people who are like, yeah, he wants to fully ban abortion. But the majority of Americans are not going to get on board with that. And a percentage of Americans are going to say, under no circumstances should you be allowed to hold office. In the same way, if someone came along and said, I don't think women should have the right to vote anymore, there are going to be some people in America who will sit there and applaud that candidate and say, yeah, suffrage, women's suffrage is the worst thing ever. Let's get rid of the women's right to vote. And they're going to support that candidate. But the overwhelming majority of Americans are going to say, you're a crazy person. You are unfit to hold office. I wouldn't elect you dog catcher. Because you'd probably come up with some crazy idea about what we should do with the dogs. No. Or if someone came forward and said discrimination against black people should be legal, that we should go back to the lunch counters and buses of the 1960s. There are going to be a handful of people in this country who are going to say, that's a good idea. The vast majority of Americans are going to say, no, we cannot support that. We do not want you in office. Now, those are extreme examples. Probably not the anti-abortion one, because Lord knows there are candidates running on that right now. And there are actually a couple of avowed Nazis seeking public office here in the United States. Apparently, they don't know where we live. Those are obvious examples of rights that we have that we're not going to allow to be taken away from us. What about giving a right to somebody else? What about creating new rights? Where does the line exist for that? Well, I know where it exists for me. And it was illustrated very, very clearly by Boston City Council President Andrea Campbell, who held a hearing last night that did not go as she had hoped. Boston City Council President Andrea Campbell had an idea that we should give the vote to legal resident aliens, visa holders, people under temporary protected status, and deferred action for childhood arrivals recipients who are better known as the Dreamers. She wanted to give them the right to vote. Her initial idea, way back when, last fall, was to give everybody the right to vote. She was going to give illegal aliens the right to vote. Her rationale behind this, as she claimed, is that there are 190,000 people from immigrants, people from other countries, living in the city of Boston. 28% of the population of the city of Boston is made up of people who are not American citizens. Now, that number is not entirely true. In fact, there are 190,000 immigrants living in the city of Boston that we know of. But half of them, 90,000 of them, are naturalized United States citizens who have the vote. Okay? So what she's really talking about is 43,000 who fall under the category of deferred action for childhood arrivals, temporary protected status, work visas, student visas, and there's one term I'm looking here. Doesn't matter. She wanted to give those people the right to vote. Now, on the surface, you look at this and you're like, you know what? You live here. You pay taxes here. That seems reasonable that we would give people the right to vote. But then you think about it a little bit longer. And the reality of what is being proposed here sets in. As a citizen of the United States, there are two things that you get that no one else gets. Because anybody who comes to this country enjoys, anybody who comes to this country legally, I should say, enjoys the full benefits and protections of the United States Constitution. Okay? So if you come here from another country on a travel visa, or you come here on a work visa, or you are a resident alien or what have you, you enjoy all of the legal protections that any American citizen would. And you enjoy all of the same benefits that we do. You can send your kid to our public schools. You can get a driver's license. You can get free treatment in our hospitals. All of those things are available to you. The only things that you get guaranteed as a citizen of the United States things that are uniquely yours as a naturalized citizen or as somebody born in the United States of America are the right to vote and a tax bill. That's it. Those are the only things that you uniquely are entitled to as an American citizen. The right to vote and a tax bill. And that right to vote is ultimately what makes you a citizen. And it is what makes the United States a sovereign nation. Is this idea that we are a republic, that we decide who is going to represent us in our government. We have a representative government. A lot of our politicians don't seem to realize that, but that's aside the point. They're bad politicians, but that's the way the system works. We have a representative government where we choose people to represent us, and we do that through our votes. We decide what laws we would like enacted through our votes. We decide what our tax rates are going to be through our votes. We decide whether or not we're going to have a dog park or whether or not we're going to have an override to pay for renovations to the local high school through our votes. That vote is what makes the United States the United States. It is sacred. It is the cornerstone of the republic. And it is not something to be given away easily for any reason. Because the moment that you say anybody who's in the country, and this is what Boston City Council presidents, this is what the president of the Boston City Council, Andrea Campbell, this is what she wanted to do. She wanted to say anybody who's in Boston, anybody who comes in here, anybody who's living in the city of Boston, you get to vote. Come on in, vote. Why not just open up the vote to people from Somerville and Cambridge? Let everybody get to vote on what happens in Boston. Everybody comes in. Everybody gets a choice. Everybody gets a say. No. The voters, when she put forward the idea about giving illegals the vote, made it abundantly clear that they were not in favor of that. The voters were like, no way. Under no circumstances are we going to allow this. And to answer a couple of broader questions about this, there is nothing in the United States Constitution that says who can and cannot vote. There is no rule in the Constitution that says these are the people who can vote. The Constitution says you get one vote per person and then leaves it up to the states to decide who will be eligible to vote. The fact that that was left up to the states has led to a number of problems in the United States over the last 200 or so years. We had to pass a constitutional amendment to get women the right to vote. We've had to pass constitutional amendments to prevent discrimination, to prevent voter suppression. We've had to have Congress take action against individual states to prevent voter suppression. All because there is nothing at the federal level that says you must be an American citizen to vote. If you want to vote in the United States, you can be an American citizen or you can be a naturalized citizen. If you come here from another country and you get citizenship, you get to vote. Part of getting citizenship is passing the citizenship test, which means learning about our history, learning about our Constitution, learning about the way our political system works. We don't just hand out the vote to anybody who asks for it. Because as the keepers of a republic, which all of us are, this is why you should vote. This really is why you should vote. You, I, everyone, we are the keepers of this republic. We are the ones that keep this country, this country. And when we abdicate our responsibility by not voting, or even worse, suggest that we should just let anybody who wants to vote, we are damaging our country. We are destroying our republic. This is the problem with Andrea Campbell's idea. The foundation of the republic, the representative government that we have, is an informed citizen electorate. Citizens. People who have been granted the right to vote through birth or through earning it by becoming naturalized citizens. By learning about the United States and understanding what we are and understanding what that vote means. They are the ones who get to vote because they are the ones who have been shaped by this republic and have the greatest say in how this, in understanding this republic and shaping how this republic goes forward. This is one of the greatest political systems in the history of Earth. And you can complain about all of the ways that it doesn't work. And we do that on this show frequently. Yes, there are flaws. There are problems. There is too much money. There is too much outside influence. There are too many special interests. There is too much corruption. There are too many politicians who lie through their teeth and don't care about the people that they represent. They're just hanging on to power. All of those problems exist. You will not solve those problems by letting anybody who wants to vote. You will not solve those problems by giving illegal aliens the right to vote, or giving people on temporary visas the right to vote, or giving people on student visas the right to vote, or giving DACA recipients the right to vote. The right to vote is sacred. It is one of two things, one of the only two things that you get as an American citizen that is not offered to anybody else in the world who comes here. You get a tax bill and you get the right to vote. Andrea Campbell, let everybody vote. That's what she's saying. And it sounds good. It comes from a good place. She's saying, look, these people live here. They're paying taxes here. They should be represented. Unfortunately, they are not citizens. They don't understand necessarily what our political system is. They don't understand what the ramifications of that vote are. I don't want to see anybody oppressed, but the last time I checked, the United States and the state of Massachusetts in particular was not going out of its way to oppress any of the resident aliens around here. We don't go out of our way to oppress the illegal aliens that are living around here. Yet here is Andrea Campbell. Let's give non-naturalized U.S. citizens, let's give resident aliens the right to vote. Because I don't know why. I don't know how an American citizen can put forward this proposal with a straight face. I don't know where this comes from. I don't know if this is something that she thought up on her own. I don't know if she's been hanging out with the wackadoodles out in Amherst who keep trying to put this thing forward and getting it slapped down by the state legislature, which still has sane people in it who value the country that we live in. I don't know if somebody didn't put her up to this. Somebody didn't throw a little money her way and say, hey, let's see if we can make this happen. Here's why this is dangerous. Because if the city of Boston were to ever pass a rule like this, there are a dozen other cities around the country that would follow suit. And the next thing you know, as a citizen of the United States, the only thing that you get is a tax bill. And you don't even have much say over how those taxes get spent because people from anywhere in the world can just wander in here and vote on anything at any time. All you got to do is show up. Here's my ID. I'm going to vote. Are you here? Are you a U.S. citizen? No, that doesn't matter anymore. You let everybody vote now. This is one of the most dangerous, caustic, cancerous ideas that you could put forward in a republic. This is a cancer on the republic if you give away the vote. Andrea Campbell, not a problem with that. Andrea Campbell, as far as I'm concerned, needs to be removed from the Boston City Council. Not only needs to be removed from the Boston City Council, needs to be removed from public office. Because this is an idea that is so dangerous, that is so caustic, that is so far out in left field, that I am terrified of what she might come up with next. If you are thinking, and I'll use the word thinking because she thought it through, I guess, but if you're thinking that giving away the cornerstone of our system of government, giving away the foundation of our republic, the right to vote, to somebody who just wandered into the city is a good idea. Or even to somebody who's been living in the city for a few years but doesn't know anything about the United States, doesn't have any ties here, doesn't really care about the United States. Even if they have ties here. Even if maybe they care about the United States, but they still have citizenship in some other country. If you think you're just going to let everybody come in here and vote, if you were going to suddenly create a block of voters, 30% of the population of the city of Boston, which, by the way, will not vote Democrat the way that you think it will, if that's your goal here, Andrea Campbell, don't count on that, because a lot of them turn out to be very conservative. You're going to create a new block, 30% of the population is immigrants. You're going to let that block decide what happens in the city for everybody else? No, we cannot do that. Not because we're racist, not because we don't want those people here, but because a vote is a right of a citizen. And you don't just walk in, drop down an address, and become a citizen. We're not Europe. We don't have the Schengen zone. We're not migrating freely from place to place and being French voting in Belgium. We still have sovereignty in this country, and we need to protect it. As a result of last night's public hearing, Andrea Campbell has withdrawn her plan to introduce legislation that would have given the vote to non-citizen aliens, to non-resident aliens, to people who are not United States citizens. Apparently enough of you showed up last night and made unpleasant noises that she thought better of the whole thing. I'm fairly confident that Governor Baker and the state legislature would have slapped this down, but it's harder to slap down a rule like this coming from Boston than it is when it comes from Amherst, because Amherst is a tiny town in the middle of nowhere full of nut jobs, and we expect they're going to do crazy things out there. Boston is a little bit trickier because there's more people, it's closer to home, it's a bigger deal. This idea is a non-starter for so many good reasons. Shouldn't even be considered, should never have even left her lips. And if this is how little she thinks of our system of government, if this is how little she thinks of our republic, she is unfit to hold the office or any other office. Everyone has that issue that will stop them from voting for a candidate. This should be that issue for you if you believe in the sanctity of our republic, in the goodness of our republic, and the value of the vote for an American citizen. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. It is The Big Picture. I am Derek Gary. When we come back, the strangest story from the past week. If I can ever find whatever it is that I am looking for on this device, I know it's here somewhere. It gets harder and harder for me to do this every single week. I don't know what's going on. This is WMFO Medford.
Sunshine day, everybody's laughing. Ranger Station.
I'd like to report a bear hug.
Okay.
I put out my campfire and Smokey Bear hugged me.
So you drowned the fire, you stirred it, drowned it again, and felt that it was cold?
Uh-huh.
Yep, he's just letting you know you did good.
Bear hug from Smokey Bear. Status update.
I'm gonna let you go now.
There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at SmokeyBear.com.
We close tonight as we always do. That's the thing that happened. The strangest story from the past week, Florida. Ignorance of the law will not get you off the hook, but what if you take the law too literally? A woman in a McDonald's drive-thru called police after the driver of a Mercury Grand Marquis kept bumping into the back of her car. When police arrived, they found 69-year-old Earl Gustavus Stevens behind the wheel with a bottle of Jim Beam whiskey in the passenger seat.